The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He reads, so it really doesn't matter.
Excuse me, sir. What are you doing?
I'm all set.
Did you take that book with you into the bathroom?
What do you want to hear?
Reading is so like 1970. Who flipping reads anymore?
They made me buy it. $100 this thing cost me. I got news for you. If it wasn't for the toilet, there would be no books. They're selling coffee, bran muffins. You're surrounded by reading material. It's entrapment.
Watch your book instead of read it.
Watch my book?
It cuts out one whole process. When you read, you have to filter it through your brain and make a picture.
Yeah.
Instead of the picture just being there for you.
Yeah, I need to return this book.
I'm sorry, we can't take this book back.
Why not?
It's been flagged.
Flagged?
It's been in the bathroom.
Says that on the computer?
Please stick it home. We don't want it near the other books.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattice.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing.
Did you read it all yesterday, Joshy? Just to stick it to Chewy? Did you try to read just a little extra?
I did. I think I knocked out like 50 pages yesterday. It was a good day for me.
I knocked it out too. Not reading.
Yeah,
you guys read in the bathroom?
I don't know.
Is that when you do your reading, Chew?
I ain't in there long enough to read. It better be a poem.
A haiku.
Gabe.
Yes. Chew.
Did you maybe have the biggest screw up ever in all your years of doing radio?
Well, it's not a screw up if somebody keeps their mouth shut.
It is a screw up.
Yeah,
read an oath too.
If you're able to keep, things to yourself, then it's not a screw up on my part.
That's not on me, that's on you.
Yeah, I am counting on you to be able to keep your mouth shut so it's not a screw up.
It's good juice though.
You just need to keep it
it's
to yourself.
Good juice.
Keep it to yourself. This is terrible radio because I can't say what I told Chewy. I just can't tell.
I know, but I wonder if anyone on the talking text line will start guessing. And
luckily, I control the talking text line. Yeah. And if they start guessing, I ain't telling you if they are. They're up. Look at this. Oh, they're just all ignoring it, Chew. Nobody's texting in about wondering the big secret that I told you.
This is
what if I text in?
You don't know the number.
Read it. Yes, it was a screw up on Gabe, but we prefaced it as a screw up. So if you choose to say it, you know damn well now at this point. There's no confusing. Yeah. Should you repeat it or should you can't play dumb like
no,
you do in the you, like you have
put,
in the past.
Can't put the toothpaste back in the genie or the.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the saying.
No, you came out and blurted it. There was no, hey, Chew, you can't say a word or you can say a word. It was just like vomit, and you're like, tried to put the vomit back in the gut.
Is toothpaste back in the tube or the genie
back
in
the
bottle?
I think vomit in the gut is better.
Try to put the
Although
vomit
you probably
back in the gut.
You can. I've known people that thrown up in their
In their mouth a little bit?
Drinks. No, in their drinks and then just reshoot it.
Nope. Moving on. Have you finished a book in the past 12 months, Chew? You lost that one yesterday. 56.5% of people saying yes, of course.
I feel good about that, though. I feel good. 46% think like me? It's wonderful.
It's dangerous.
No, it's 43.5%, but yeah, we can round up to 46 if you want.
Yeah.
As a non-reader, they don't pay much attention to numbers. Not their thing.
Yeah, exactly. There's another thing. Math is overrated. When's the last time you used geometry? Come on. No, we're not going to go there.
We use geometry all the time.
Well, I mean, people do. I don't.
Yeah, but you use it in ways you don't realize just because it's innate to your understanding of the world.
Sure. But it's not like I'm sitting down writing, you know, writing out the Pythagorean theorem trying to figure out the quickest way to, you know, well, if I don't take the right angle, I can just cut through with the hypotenuse. And no, I'm not doing that crap. You're talking about Chewie's right, man, you know. And by the way, every math teacher that ever said, well, you got to know how to do this in your head because you're never going to have a calculator in your pocket. Well, that blew up in their faces, didn't it?
But, the more you look back at it, history was probably the most important class we took. Because everyone uses history. Not everyone uses math. Not everyone. What's another course? English?
When's the last time you used history in your everyday life?
English is certainly bigger than, than anything. Uh-huh.
I use it all the time. I use it yesterday with the eclipse. When's the last time it happened? What a big nothing burger.
Wait, you don't know the last time it happened.
Well,
you didn't use history.
20 years Googled from now. It. I remember Hale Bopp. I remember all those things.
Yeah, I would say English would probably be especially doing, you know, Chew, a radio show every day. I would say English and language would be the most important.
When's the last time you wrote an essay?
No one writes essays, but I send work emails all the time.
Yeah.
That's English?
Typing.
It's not.
What we're doing right now is
communication.
Yeah.
The way we're talking back
speeches,
and forth.
Book reports.
What percentage of people go to school for a certain thing and wind up never using it?
Many.
I would say there's probably a high percentage.
Like college?
Like the whole college system needs to be blown up.
Oh, yeah. I think it's over 50% at this point. Really end up using, don't end up going professional or, you know, end up in a career path that is directly correlated. Like my wife, my wife works in education. I think she's a psychology major. But she works,
isn't it?
No, but I mean, I guess that can be a part, you know, you can use your psychology degree in education. She runs the college counseling program at a high school.
Okay.
You know, so that's not directly correlated. I mean, that'd be more, again, I think that's more education.
I mean, obviously what we do is a communications degree, but did either of you guys go to school for communications?
Absolutely, I did.
You did?
Yeah. What did you think I went to school for?
You knew what you were
going to do? Yeah, Chewie, I've worked for this company since I was 16.
Oh. All right. One out of three is not bad.
You know what? I don't know if I've ever asked this question, Chew.
Yeah.
We've been working together. I have known you for over a decade. We've been working together doing a morning show for coming up on 5 years now, which is still insane to think about. 4 years of Jen, Gabe, and Chewie this fall. But 5 years of you and me waking up and doing this morning show. What was your major? I don't think I've ever asked you that question.
Marketing, which applies because I market BS. It kind of does, right? I'm trying to sell what I'm saying. No?
Yeah, no, I get you, man, 100%.
All right.
100%. Matthew's saying personal finance would probably be an important class. I don't know if they're really teaching personal finance. I mean, I think they might be now, but we didn't really have a personal finance class in my high school when I went.
No. It was all just fell under the umbrella of finance. Now they have 25 different degrees in the finance.
But I'm even talking about just area. like a high school class of personal finance. Try to get that, you know, fiscal responsibility into your brain early.
I guess. I don't know. College is a waste. For most people, it's a waste.
Yeah, so what you're doing here is kind of two different things. You're saying geometry is not necessary, which is something you learn in grade school, and then saying college is worthless. So it's
geometry. I learned that in 10th grade.
Is school grade all worthless? School. Like altogether is what you're trying to say here? Or where are you drawing the line? At what point is it a necessity for children to attend school?
Chewie learned everything he needed to learn working on the farm.
Yeah, probably. You know where I went to school, Joshy? The school
Boston
of hard
College.
Knocks.
You didn't go to
the
hard
school
knocks.
Of hard right. knocks.
You kind of went to a cake eater school.
Yeah, you went to a fancy
no,
college
I did.
In Boston.
I
you went
did.
To a cake eater
when
school.
I,
like that's just
when
that
I
mean,
turned 18.
Yeah.
Yes.
You went to the fancy private school. That's
I've
where
been
you
on
decided.
Scholarship for a long time. I'm not going to lie. But up until 18, no. Yeah. I put in 36 years of work in 18 years. That's pretty good.
Okay, say that again.
What does that even mean?
It means okay. I work my in the fields, all that stuff. Kids today, I can't believe I'm going to go to work at Qdoba today. I mean, come on. I'm cutting tobacco, losing a toe.
You didn't lose a toe.
In dirt.
You didn't
I
lose
came
a
close.
Toe.
I came close.
All right. Now, see, okay, here's the thing that you're doing now, old man. At 55,
what?
You're just over-exaggerating everything you did. Like, I don't doubt that working in the tobacco fields was hard for you growing up, but you didn't lose a toe. If you lost a toe, I don't think you're playing in the NFL, because from my understanding of the Tootsies, they're pretty important to balance.
I cut it pretty good.
So now you're just telling us
and
about
And I
injuries.
Kept working. Wasn't enough to keep me out.
How much of the toe did you cut off? And which toe was it?
Enough. My big one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hit it with, I was tired. I was probably 12 years old with a razor-sharp hatchet and missed the stalk of the tobacco and whacked my toe. And then all of a sudden, I felt it get wet. And I didn't think it was sweat. So they brought me in, patted it down, put some super glue on it, and back in the field you go. Yeah, work ethic.
I don't know if that was really work ethic. It sounds like you were forced to go back out there. I don't know if that was you.
Oh, the child labor laws? Forget about it.
I don't think that sounds like as you as a 12-year-old going, yes, I volunteer as tribute. I'll go back out there. It seems like they made you go back out there.
Yes.
Through coercion and fear and manipulation.
Yeah. That's a little different. Again, that led to the work ethic that you have today. And again, I am not denying, because we have covered in, you know, about your career, you weren't the most talented dude. It's part of the reason why you're a sixth-round pick. But you had to be one of the hardest workers in order to play in the NFL for a decade. So I'm not questioning the work ethic. I'm just questioning maybe the work ethic at 12.
Because we were forced? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because you were forced. Yes. I don't think at 12 you were voluntarily going, yes, let me go back out there.
Well,
because
there
what 12-year-old
there
is?
There wasn't the money in the world that there is today.
Okay.
That's why. Because I grew up family of six. Father didn't make squat. You had to buy your own school clothes if you wanted nice school clothes. You couldn't do that by sitting on the couch. Now, today, and well, you guys don't have kids yet, but you spoil the crap out of your kids. It's true.
I understand.
I mean, I take responsibility to some standpoint that, yeah, we probably hurt our kids' development a little bit.
So you there's a part of you that regrets not having some sort of farm field to have your kids when they were 12 to force them go to work after they've cut their toe a little bit with a hatchet.
Yes.
You wish you had that.
Well, there's no more tobacco, number one.
Oh, there is.
Yeah,
not as much.
Yeah. I mean, plus, I mean, you said it's settled in Wisconsin. There's not tobacco here. But in other places in the country, there are.
You could raise some corn, put those kids to work.
Yeah.
Well, Blammer does, but he's horrible at it.
Well, again, that's why you've got the neighbors, man. I'm sure the Blammer could have used help, you know, getting his corn upright, getting that labor to help him out. So he actually has good corn that is actually worth something, and he can barter with something across the neighborhood.
Yeah, you're right. How'd we get here?
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm glad we distracted you.
It's all because of your fumble.
Okay.
Error.
I was hoping he would forget all about that. We have Jason Wilde coming our way next as we will talk to him about everything happening with the green and gold on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
is our friend. He is our teammate. Of course, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No Jen today, still out sick. Hopefully she'll be returning with us tomorrow, but that means we get a Dude Tuesday with Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Dude! Get well soon, Jen. But great to be with the two of you knuckleheads, for sure.
Oh, we
Keith, Chewy.
We certainly appreciate that, Jason. Is there an expectation? We were discussing this a little bit before the show and trying to figure out what our expectations for Jordan Love should be. And I think everybody just assumes that he's going to take that next step forward. We see him putting in the work in. Chase Daniel putting out a post on social media about how hard Jordan Love is working this offseason. Is it fair to just assume he's going to take that step, or what's the likelihood, I guess, that he maybe goes through a bit of a, even though he's not a sophomore, it's his second year starting, that sophomore slump, and the league catches up to him just a little bit?
Yeah, I think there's a chance of that, but I think you're right. I think we're all kind of assuming that things are going to be star-spangled awesome. And, I mean, I don't think that that's unreasonable to think, but, you know, I hate this because, and I've said this to Tausch before too, like if you, right now the kind of climate with Packers fans is if you suggest that there's still some bumps in the road and that the NFL defensive coordinators now have a full season of film of what the Packers do with Love at quarterback and what throws he makes effectively and what throws maybe are not his strength and things that they could maybe do and ways that they could throw him off his game. Because, look, defensive coordinators do not want to watch him do what he did in the final nine games leading into San Francisco and what he did against San Francisco until about 6 minutes left in the game or the fourth quarter anyway. They don't want to allow that to happen again. So it's their job to figure out ways to slow him down so he's not putting up a 70% completion percentage and not throwing for 18 touchdowns against one pick. So I would anticipate that that will be the case, that there will be defensive coordinators who will have some fresh ideas for him and figure out ways to attack him. But I still think he's good. Like, at the bare minimum, he's good. And so I will be very surprised if he's not, you know, not putting up the numbers he did during the second half of last season, but certainly putting up good numbers.
Jason,
what's up, Stella?
I heard that they have to make
the neighbor
a decision.
Boy has a. The neighbor boy has brought out a what are those called that fly in the sky? Right, as
a
I'm
drone.
The dog.
Oh,
a drone.
Cool.
Yes. All right, we're going in. Sorry. Stella is definitely not pleased about the drone in the middle of our cul-de-sac. Chewy, your question.
Jason, they have to make a decision on Eric Stokes fairly soon. Are they going to give him the fifth-year option?
I don't think so. Do you?
I don't think they can.
I mean,
well, if they draft Cooper, well, would the draft have taken place already, Jason? And then they have to make a decision?
Yes.
Or do they have to make a decision? So if they draft Cooper,
no, the draft will take place.
There's no chance.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we're looking honestly at what Eric Stokes' resume is right now, he started the season as a rookie, a little up and down, finished the season pretty well, right? Felt pretty good about him toward the end of 21. Then in 22... you know, he obviously had the ACL or the foot injury and the knee injury, which were problematic and ended his season early. Last year, he finally comes back, and then he's got more issues, right, with the hamstring. So I look at him as you don't know, A, just how good he's capable of being, but B, you don't know how durable he's going to be. And you can't risk, if Goody wasn't willing to give the fifth-year option to Love, and his quote was, that's a lot of money to give a guy who hasn't played, then he has to feel the same way about where his 2021 first round pick sits three seasons into his career. Like, he has played more than Love had, plays a different position, the numbers different than the one that they would have had to pay to their quarterback. But I don't see any way they give him the fifth-year option, because you know that's the kiss of death from me. But I think it's highly unlikely. I really do.
Yeah.
Chewy, do you know
what the number is?
Darnell's. What the what?
Do you know what the number is?
No, I don't know what the number is.
$12.4 million. That would be fully guaranteed.
But I didn't think they were going to give it to Darnell Savage, and they did.
And I think they regretted that.
I think they did too. But I also think that they looked at what he did in his first 2 years in Pettine's system, right? Because that would have been 19 and 20. When I thought he actually, I was encouraged by what he was capable of being. It was 21 where obviously that first year in Joe Barry's scheme, we saw him miss tackles. Then 22, he got benched. So I remember having that conversation. He gets benched after the Tennessee game. And then you're like, well, great. They've already given him the fifth year option. So that's, they clearly, you don't bench guys that you were confident enough in to give the fifth year option. So I think they would, I would think that the Darnell Savage piece of this is a cautionary tale for them to say, hey, we like Eric. We hope he's healthy, and we'll be happy to extend him if he has the kind of season we would love for him to have in 2024. But we're, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you shouldn't fool people.
Jason, if they're serious if they're serious about this kicker competition, should they look at this Jake Bates guy who's hit 60-yard field goals back-to-back weeks in the UFL? I'm sure you have not seen this. You've got better things to be doing on your weekends than, you know, watching UFL highlights. But yeah, Jake Bates, 64-yard game winner week one, then drills a 62-yarder. And if I send you this highlight, Jason, he makes it look so easy. It looks like it's an extra point.
Yeah, first of all, I don't know, like, how serious of a competition is this? I've invoked the name of Giorgio Tavecchio when we've talked about this previously, that, yes, it's competition, but you still have someone you're rooting for in the competition if you're the Packers, if that makes sense. You know, don't forget, that summer that they brought Giorgio, or as Mike McCarthy called him, Sergio, that year that they brought him in, they also brought in another kicker late in camp to compete for a week or so with both of them. And so whether it's this UFL guy or somebody else that they take an interest in, they've got three kickers on the roster right now. I don't know if they'll stick with that all the way into training camp. I would doubt that. But I do think that they feel like, hey, after the way the season went, after the critical kick that Anders missed, we have to see how he responds to in-person competition. We have to test that. And, you know, they've added a guy, obviously, who has kicked in the league. But if you look at his numbers from last year, you know, with the Vikings, they're no different, really, than what we saw from Anders Carlson. They're certainly not meaningfully better. So I think it's a legit competition, but I watched as much of the UFL so far this season as I watched of WrestleMania, which at least the UFL, the outcome isn't predetermined.
Jason, I saw Flea got a promotion. Does that mean he's no longer the head trainer? Did they bring someone else in, or is that just a title move?
I think it's more of a title thing. Obviously, there are they promoted Nate Weir, who has been with the team for a couple of decades now, and who has been in charge of rehab and overseeing all that stuff. They've got a larger staff than they had when you were playing. And
yeah.
I would say that Flea will still be very involved. I think his title, and I have not talked to him about this yet, so I don't have full clarity on what his role will be. But I do think they've made him kind of a supervisor with a much better title. You know, when you get those VP titles, not that the three of us are in any position to get those, but I think there's a pretty significant bump in pay and responsibility. But I think he's still going to be working with players like he always has. And knowing Flea like you do and like I do, I think that's really important to him. I don't think that's something he would ever want to give up.
I love Flea.
Just a little 2 weeks away, over 2 weeks away from the draft, Jason, are there any story? I know you love the story aspect of prospects, not necessarily more about the three cone and shuttle times, but are there any draft stories that have stood out to you?
Well, first of all, speaking of stories, the Packers tailgate tour, once the drone flying child is done out in the cul-de-sac, Stella and I are headed to Lambeau because the bus leaves this morning, and our teammate slash buddy Brian Bulaga is one of the people on the bus.
Oh.
But more importantly, Elton Jenkins is on the bus, and Rashid Walker is on the bus. And so from a story perspective, I'm going to go and hopefully talk to the three of them about the offensive line. Because from a Packers perspective, I think it's really interesting that this group loses. I can't think of a year quite like this on the offensive line where they lose three guys that started games for them. One, a borderline Hall of Famer. One, a four-year starter until he started platooning late in his time. And then Yash, who had played a bunch for him as well. And yet at the same time, they kind of have their starting five set. Like, there's no obvious competition. Now, if they draft somebody at 25 that plays tackle, suddenly that changes the idea. But from left to right, right now, it's Walker, Jenkins, Myers, Sean Ryan, who they clearly were grooming to be their starting right guard, and then obviously Zach Tom, who's been fantastic. So from a Packers storyline, to me, that's, you know, one of the really interesting things about this offseason. And for as many holes as they have defensively, I think there's a distinct possibility that they're going tackle in the first round. That would not surprise me one bit. Now, from the prospect perspective, I haven't done a whole lot of digging yet. I don't like to get too smitten with prospects that are unlikely to be playing for the team that I cover. But as you well know, once they get drafted and I start to dig into their stories, that's when I really enjoy the draft.
Jason, is Zach Tom a free agent next year?
So he is going into his third year. So no, he will have one more year. He was on the, yeah. But to your point, like that's, he strikes me as a guy that if you really want to, if you're going to be proactive, if you want to get deals done, so you don't have to worry about guys, you know, blowing up the market. You know, again, I spend most of my day with a guy who played right tackle at a very high level, and then Brian Bulaga is on our show weekly, like he is with everybody else. You know, those are two guys that played the right tackle position extremely well, and both of them think Zach Tom is fantastic. Like, I think they both said that he's better than they were. So he would be a prime candidate to try and, you know, use that whole concept of, hey, we're going to mitigate your risk by paying you early, and you're going to save us some money by signing early. I would think that he would be at the top of their list of guys from that 2022 draft that they want to get something done with sooner rather than later. But it's not something that can happen in the very near future.
In terms of money for stuff like that, Jason, they're going to have a little bit of money that opens up on June 1st, right? Because even though he's gone and he can sign with a different team, Campbell was designated a June 1st release, so they have to carry that cap hit until June 1st. Am I correct in that? And then after June 1st, then that can open up some money potentially for little extensions like that.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. I am not a capologist by trade. I'm not really sure what I am by trade. If you stop to think about it for a while.
I think you're a dog walker.
Look, or the angry neighbor. Like that, I was not pleased with that, by the way. I don't know if you could tell it in my voice over the loud barking of the dog. Like, he flew it right above us. Like, dude,
he did.
You have a backyard. You're killing me here.
Who flies a drone at 7:30 in the morning?
Yeah, first of all, is it spring break up there? Like, what's going on? Shouldn't this kid be in school right now?
I think they might go to a school that doesn't start till later, so he's passing the time till mom takes them to school. But great family. Just really would have preferred not having the drone go while I was on the radio walking the dog so I can get to Lambeau. But what was the question again? Oh, cap space.
it doesn't matter, Jason.
I don't. Well, so here's the thing. I mean, No, and this is, I'm not going to get off on any sort of Aaron Jones rant here, but the suggestion that bringing him back was going to be problematic for the cap, I just, with the way the cap is going, does any of us feel like the cap is really, really an issue these days? Like, unless you are in absolute cap hell because you extended a bunch of old guys who then broke down and you got all their dead cap money and they're not on your roster, which is really only Bakhtiari, and they actually saved cap space this year by moving on from him. I don't feel like the cap, because of, I mean, it jumped nearly $31 million this year. Like, yeah. I know Chewy's old, but like, that's like the size of the cap when he was a young player, basically. I mean, it's not that big, but it, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, the money is so crazy that I just don't think that it's as big of a factor. And if you want to get stuff done, there's ways to get it done. Now, I would say this. The one thing that's interesting, they could have created cap space by moving money around in Kenny Clark's contract. And Kenny's on the tour today, too. So I'm hoping, you know, I mean, he's going into a contract here, which is crazy. He still isn't 30, by the way. And this team is not big on the third contract, guys. And they certainly regret the third contract they gave to Bakhtiari because of his injury. But they chose not to do that, which would have pushed a pretty big matzo ball of cap hit into 2025. I wonder if that's because they're not quite sure, as good as he is as a player, as good as he is as a leader, if they're not quite sure that they want to bring him back on a third contract. So there are things that are cap related that matter. I'm just saying that in these, in this time, if you really want to get something done, there is nothing stopping you from doing so.
Jason, I think there's more cap space than there are good players.
I agree.
That's fair.
I really do.
I like that take.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm serious. I really think there are.
Yeah, and look, I think there's been obviously inflation with contracts, right? Like, you know, I was watching the Reggie White documentary the other night again, and I mean, his big 4-year, $17 million deal, like, that is peanuts.
That's right? A middle reliever.
I mean, those are $1993.
That's a fullback.
Right. 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 Josiah DeGuara would have been happy with that deal for sure.
Yes.
Jason, is there anything, any credence to maybe they're trying to figure out Jordan Love before they go into that extension game, or do you think that's not really connected at all?
All right, so when I say this, I don't mean this like I'm bitter because Goody said that Aaron Jones would absolutely be returning and he wasn't. But when he says things like it's going to take a while on the Jordan Love extension, I'm a little leery. I don't want to say, okay, well, it's not happening until training camp. That's what I think that means. But I know there are folks that are like, hey, they should get something done on May the 4th. Be with you. That's Gabe. The first day that they're eligible to sign him to that. I think that that is going to be somewhat protracted, but again, it's hard for me to picture him really wanting to go into training camp or the season without the enormous amount of guaranteed money that he would be getting.
Jason, appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again on Thursday, although I will be talking to you on Wilde and Tausch coming up later today.
You will. I'm going to fire up my own drone, and I'll talk to you then, buddy.
All right. Sounds good, pal. Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. There is one prospect who had his pro day yesterday that his name keeps coming up with the Packers, but do we have to cross him off the lists? We asked that question. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Care, you can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
I've got a simple question. What can you do in an hour? You take a nap, do some cleaning... Have lunch with a friend, watch your favorite show, take a yoga class, go to the gym, or buy a car. That's right, with the Ewald Automotive Group, you will be in and out in about an hour. Just one of the ways they make it easy for you, and they've been making it easy for 60 years here in southeastern Wisconsin. Go to ewaldauto.com, select the vehicle that you're interested in, Get your instant price. You can also get a firm trade-in offer, customize your payment option, and even add your own protection plan. Then head to the dealership. Guess what? You're in and out in about an hour because Ewald makes it easy, and it all starts at EwaldAuto.com. Much like UConn, we probably should have seen this coming because this was the UConn of our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket. Our championship game was yesterday, much like it was on the men's side for the men's game. And, I mean, this was just going to be the runaway freight train. While I think a lot of our own grievances, Chewy, were certainly represented throughout the other 31 grievances. Speakerphone everywhere, grocery store spatial awareness, tip included, Crab Benedict being $65. Really, when we started this, we all should have picked one winner because I think there is one number one seed that we all agreed on as the most annoying thing that you may have to deal with. And especially with you and Jen, especially Chew, once you're back up here, you've got a little bit of a drive to come in to the Gruber Law Offices One Call. That's All Studios here in downtown Milwaukee. Jen's got a bit of a drive coming down 43. It was clear who the winner was going to be, and maybe we should have just all predicted this from the start. What do you think the winner was?
I thought there was like a four seed that had a chance. I forget which one it was. I said it early on. I forget who it was. But, yeah, this is definitely – this was the UConn. Everyone experiences it. Some people do it, but not surprised by.
What is it about left lane? Slow driver in the left lane that drives people so crazy? There's the obvious reasons. You're holding up traffic, all that. But is it – it's so ubiquitous – that it drives everyone nuts? Is it just because it happens so often?
Yeah, because the left lane...
Which would therefore mean to me that less people would do it because everyone knows you're not supposed to do it, but yet everyone still does it.
So yeah, so look, slow driver left lane ran away with the final in our polls yesterday. So congratulations, slow driver left lane. Ryan in Maguanago is our big winner of the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy prize pack featuring a hoodie. Featuring our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy logo. But yeah, because that left lane, that's A, the fast lane, or B, the passing lane. Like, you're not just supposed to go out to the left lane and sit there and cruise at 63 miles an hour. Like, either you know it of one of two things. It's the fast lane, Chew, or it's the passing lane. So if you want to go 60, that's fine. Just get over in the right lane so I can get around you because other people are going slow in the right lane. And when you're sitting out there hanging on the left side, I don't want to be weaving in and out of traffic all the time just so I can pass your ass.
But are these people typically the same people? I mean, obviously, the ones that annoy me the most are the ones that don't care. Like, I can drive whatever I want. It's my road, too. I pay taxes. But is this the same person that goes to Starbucks and does the goofy order and sits there for 10 minutes and takes their sweet-ass time with a line behind them? Is it all the same person?
I think there are overlapping traits, yes. I think that if we were to put the Venn diagram together, if you are a slow driver in the left lane, my guess is you are probably doing multiple other things that ended up in our grievance bracket. Because a lot of this comes down to one thing, Chewy. You're just totally oblivious to anybody else around you. That's what a lot of these grievances, like you are just so in your own little world. And look, it happens to everybody on occasion, right? Like every once in a while, you kind of get, you know, caught up in your own little thing and, you know, you were passing somebody, then you kind of hang out there, even though you're going 75, somebody wants to go 80 or 85, whatever, you forget to get over. It happens on occasion. But the repeat offenders, those are the ones that, you know, or the people who just don't care. You know, like you're in the grocery store, you're sitting there having a conversation with a person while you're trying to block the peanut butter. I just want to grab some peanut butter and get out of here. I don't have to go through you in your conversation. Right, it's total lack of spatial awareness.
It's just, and I don't know if this falls into this category, but people that manipulate the system drive me absolutely crazy to the point where I have a trouble holding my mouth because they're like down here. Gabe,
okay,
there
give me an example of manipulating the system.
Handicap stickers. Handicap stickers.
Sure.
I see a person get out of a handicap stall.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine walking, but they have the sticker on there. I went to
just dancing around
Epcot.
Not
Epcot. Universal Studios, Gabe.
Okay.
Probably 40-year-old guy with kids and stuff in one of those motorized scooters, so he could go to the front of the line every time. Okay? I saw him later in the day running to chase his kids.
He pulled a Costanza. Did he pick up his scooter?
And I said, hey, where's your scooter, you fraud? People that do that drive me absolutely crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Does it bother you?
Oh, absolutely, because you're taking advantage of people and you're taking advantage and giving a bad name to the people who actually, like, if there's actually somebody who needs that, Chewy, or somebody who needs a wheelchair, like, that's actually pretty serious if somebody is in need of that and you're taking advantage of the goodwill that those people get to use it for yourself.
The service
that
dog
is the
industry.
Worst. That is the worst type of person.
There are people out there that need service dogs, but I had a friend of a friend that just went and got a service dog, whatever, for his dog so the thing could travel, and he gave some BS excuse what he needed it for.
Yeah, I hate that. I'm with you. I absolutely
that bothers
hate that.
Me.
Yes.
That bothers me.
100%. I'm right there with you. Like, yes, you're taking advantage of the situation. You don't need it. You know, you're just trying to do it to...
Correct.
You know, again, just take advantage of a situation. And those are the worst type of people.
It all boils down to people thinking they're more important than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Their needs, their desires, and their wants trump yours. Not for any real reason, like, you know, somebody needing to use the handicap stall because they have a hard time getting around.
It's a respect thing. Yes. It's like they don't respect anybody else.
When did it become that? Because it certainly wasn't. Like, wasn't as prevalent when I was a youngster. At some point, it just flipped.
See, I always wonder, too, because I've found myself, like, in a number of different situations. I won't get anything specific, but there are a number of things where I'm like, man, this seemed a lot simpler when I was a kid. And that's probably just because you're just in ignorance bliss as a child, right? So you're not aware of all the things going on around. Like, you, as a 12-year-old, you're probably not noticing the guy who has a handicap sticker and then is, you know, still parking in the handicap spot, walking out and doing a couple of skips and heel clicks on their way into Target, right? Like, you just don't notice that because you're in your own little world as a 10-year-old.
Something as simple as holding a door open for someone. How about a thank you? How hard is it to say thank you?
Oh, I got a thank you this morning. I was walking in here. Yeah, I was walking in here, and it looked like somebody turned the corner, and they looked like, I don't know if she was late for work, or she was moving with a purpose, though. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stand here, hold the door. She said, thank you. I feel, you know, it's always a good little thing to get the little thank you.
Yeah. If they don't say thank you, I say you're welcome.
Just get passive-aggressive with it.
I don't know. It's just, what's the matter with people today?
Can't
we all just get along?
Okay, well, you asked that question, all right? You also asked the question earlier today, why do you have to like everybody? I don't know if we're going to dive into that, because I also want to get into best time for games, because last night's national championship game tipped off pretty late.
Yeah.
We dive into that. 2 minutes, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.